Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk about networking. What to focus on, need to build and maintain a network throughout your career. And to lead us in that is Nan Seamer, career strategist, president of Breakers. And I love your business card. It says, get past the barriers.
That's true.
I don't think there'd ever be any barrier to you.
Really?
And Nan has been on the show many times, fellow seminar presenter, knows the federal beast. And she's been good enough to come in this morning and talk about networking. I think we all know what networking is, but I bet everybody doesn't know in depth what it should be.
I think everybody has an interpretation of networking. All people understand exactly what it is. But what would you consider your network to be, Bob?
Anybody that would have an interest in talking to me.
It's anyone you know. And that's hopefully what I'm going to get across here today, is that a lot of federal workers that I work with do not know what their network is. They claim they do not have one, which is sad, because when you've been working for 30 years, you should have a network. If you've lived life for 30 years, you should have a network. It's the people that live around you. It's the neighbor that walks the dog. It's the person who cuts your hair. It's the people that you work with. It certainly is the people that work with them and work with them. The network is everyone you know. That is your network.
Now, how do you generate that network? It's easy to generate network, I suppose, with people that you're around every day. But how do you get beyond the people that you are around every
day? I think it's important first to put it in context as to why it's so important. When I left broadcasting and started my own business, I never had to look for work, ever. I never had to market. I took it for granted that that's the way it is when people start a business. Turns out that's not the way it is at all. But because I let so many people know this is what I'm going to be doing, people brought work to me. You know, people really like to help people. If they know what it is they're looking for, if they know what it is that they want to do, they are there to help. People like to help people. And when it comes to hiring, people hire people who know people. So it's not done by computers today. It is totally done by people. So if you're thinking about as a federal employee, and I had just talked to a friend this weekend, and you're leaving government in your 50s, you're going to have a second career. And it is not a bad time. 50s, 60s, if you're going to live to be 90s, 100, you're going to have a second career, be it part-time, full-time. It's going to be on your terms. But whatever it is, you're going to need a network, even if it's just to socialize. Because when you and I both know, if you leave government work and you're suddenly in a situation where you take to the rocking chair, you know that you're going to age a lot faster, mentally, physically. So you need to be out there doing something. And this network is something that you should be building years before you retire. It's something you should be thinking about now.
When you talk about a network, one would be a professional network. Is there a network of pinball enthusiasts?
Well, the point is that people never know. If you need something, you don't know where it's going to come from. If you want to help somebody, you don't know where it's going to come from. The network is everybody, but there are different networks for different things. When I worked in radio and I said I specialized in negotiation, I remember a woman sitting next to me saying, "What do you know about negotiation?" We're all multifaceted people. We all have a lot of things going on in our lives, but not everybody knows everything we do. With the invention of Facebook and things that are out there today, they know a lot more about what we do, but they don't know everything. So, yes, to answer your question about the pinball enthusiast, when we come back to talking a little bit more about LinkedIn, I want to bring this up because we recently did a seminar for NITP where somebody said that she was creating gourds. She took gourds and she made art out of gourds. Believe it or not, if you go on LinkedIn, you can find gourd artist enthusiasts on LinkedIn.
Really?
So you can find groups of people that do the things you do, no matter how abstract and obscure they are. Another person in one of those seminars named a helicopter company. And when I pulled up that helicopter company, and I know nothing about helicopter people and pilots, I knew two people, and I was connected through LinkedIn to two people working at that company. That's how the network works. We're going to be talking a lot about LinkedIn, but you have to understand LinkedIn was founded on the premise of the 6 degrees of separation, which is if you contact the right six people in your life, you can reach anyone in the world. So if you think about it in terms of your people that you're connected with, know people who know people, I just went online to see about you, Bob, and it turns out that we were not connected directly, but we were both connected to the same people. So I've just sent you an invitation so we can be connected now in the future.
Well, I will certainly
So you are
accept.
Now about to become part of my network.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a scary thought,
isn't
it?
The parameters are endless.
Yes, they are. So the importance of a network is really to support you and for you to be, you know, involved in life, both personally, professionally, artistically, creatively, whatever your network desires are. Because as we know, when people make changes in their careers, if they retire from government work, they often go on to things, even volunteering. You want to make sure that when you go out there and you start volunteering in your life, that you don't suddenly end up with letting people know I'm available, because, you know, volunteer opportunities just fall from the heavens. You have so many opportunities to choose from. You have to think about this in advance. What do I want to do? You know, not to be too cliche, but what's going to feed my soul? What's going to be important to me? When it comes to volunteer work, you should really do it with your heart. What's important to you? Where do you want to give back?
Wow.
And even then, you're going to need a network.
All righty. We've had a number of shows on furloughs, and I was thinking the other day, if somebody makes $200 a day, that's like $50,000 plus a year. Mm-hmm. Somebody makes $400 a day, that's a chunk of change. It's $80,000. And they're furloughed 14 days, that's some serious money. Even mm-hmm. after you boil out the tax and the other things, that's a serious amount. If somebody was to use LinkedIn to say, I'm available to do this on Alternative Fridays, and this is what I do, would that be a source?
It's usually not as direct like that, but yes, you can. I mean, I have people that I know out there that will post. There is an update section on LinkedIn that you can post what it is you're doing on any given week. And a lot of people will say, I'm looking for someone with such and such skills. Why not turn it around and say, I'm looking for an opportunity to do this or that? I already know a lot of government workers do some type of work on the side. You may work on the Hill, but you're also an accountant. You may do, you know, government, any type of government work, budgeting work, but you're also a painter and you sell your painting. In my case, I do career strategy, but as you've just commented, I'm also making scarves these days.
Let me tell you how nice that scarf is.
Thank you. So,
By the way, what's your phone number just in case somebody wanted to get in touch or maybe buy a scarf?
That's true.
How do you access? I shouldn't say phone number. You can
phone
do email.
Or email. It's nan@breakersconsulting, B-R-E-A-K-E-R-S, like the surf, breakersconsulting.com. You have to put the consulting in, otherwise you end up with some hotel somewhere.
Okay, and it's Nan.
N-A-N. Okay. And then it's, and I do have a home office, and people are welcome to call me if they have questions there as well. So are you okay with giving that? Or, okay, 703-313-0147. 703-313-0147. And people can call me if they have any questions about this. I do want to go a little bit into, we didn't do the basics of LinkedIn. A lot of government workers these days are getting requests that say, join my LinkedIn. And they're really put off by it because they're saying, I don't have LinkedIn and why am I getting these requests? Well, if you go in and you sign up for LinkedIn, then you can respond to these people and you can get connected to them. But it's not, it'll send you a request even before people that don't have a profile. The other thing you have to be careful of, I actually had a profile that somebody else apparently started. And it had one person in it. I don't know who it was because I never, when you sign up, you use your email address. By the way, I recommend to everyone they use a personal email address, not a business. The reason for this is when they leave a company, when they leave the government, this LinkedIn profile is tied to their email. And so I've had countless cases where they say that my email's been killed. I don't have access anymore. Then you have to go in and start a new profile and then notify LinkedIn to kill the previous one. So it's very complicated if you don't have an email that you take with you. So I always recommend people do it with their own personal email to establish a LinkedIn account. Then go to town. Start connecting with everyone you know. This is not Facebook. People are so concerned. Social media, this is going to be, you know, the absolute, the bane of my existence. I'm going to, you know, go up in flames if I end up going on this. This is not Facebook. LinkedIn is 100% professional. If you go on there and talk about your grandchildren or put pictures of your dog, it will not be acceptable unless you are like I did. I created a dog product and I do have connections to people who market dog products. So, you know, it is not a personal thing at all. It was 100% business networking. Then you can join groups and you can with like interests. Then you can, you know, hook up with other people, you know, but it is not Facebook. Facebook is 100% personal. LinkedIn is 100% business. And the way that you'll be disconnected from people is if you start putting a lot of personal stuff up there. They want things that are going to be connections for business.
Now, in the reverse, do employers look at LinkedIn to look for potential people seeking employment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people, when they do background checks, will also look at your Facebook these days. And the way you present yourself personally can get you into trouble professionally.
Uh-oh.
But LinkedIn, it is getting to the point where if you're not on LinkedIn, employers consider you to be somewhat computer illiterate. Because they're saying that you have got to have a profile. You've got to show that you're aware of social media to be able to get ahead in jobs. So it's just like anything else. You've got to have this skill. You're making a face at me, Bob.
No. Is my picture on LinkedIn what I think it is?
I don't know. You're not connected to me yet, and I didn't see a picture. Okay. I do, but you bring up a good point, Bob. Mm. Everybody needs to have a picture on LinkedIn. A lot of people have similar names, and you want to make sure that if your name, if you've got a name, Bob Smith or Tim Jones, that you are the right Tim Jones. So you put a professional photo of yourself up there to make sure that they've got the right person.
Mine, I don't think, is real professional.
Uh-oh. I actually had somebody that looked like he had for lack of a better way of saying it, it looked like he was a drug dealer in a bar where the picture was taken. And I told him he had to change that photo. It was terrible. A lot of women think that all these sexy pictures are good for them. No. LinkedIn is professional. LinkedIn is 100% professional. Not to say you shouldn't also be professional when you do Facebook and realize that other people might be able to access it. But LinkedIn is professional.
Okay. Mine has a Yankee cap on and Rolling Stone pants.
Not a good thing, probably.
But I didn't know.
But the Yankee, it's usually a headshot. It's usually a nice headshot is what you want to do. The Yankee cap would probably get you, you know, in good standing in some places.
Or bad
and Rolling
standing.
Cone, the Rolling Stones probably as well. But
they're unique.
Yes.
Anyway, so when you sign up for this, should you look for your what's in your soul first? I mean, if you're presenting yourself and your professionalism, I'm an accountant, but I like taxes and I do accounting. So Do I say, okay, this is what I do,
well,
but I do other things.
Basically, you're putting up a resume. And it's hard for somebody like me because I am connected with a number of different organizations because I'm a contractor. And so where it says my current employment, I mean, I have numerous current employer type relationships, including with yours, with NITP. So it's it kind of fills up the top. But you're basically taking your resume and putting it in, first of all. Then you have an opportunity to join groups. And the groups are where you can really find things. Like, for example, when I invented the dog product, I went to places that have marketing of dog products. And those are the types of groups I joined. They'll say, while we consider your membership, you know, which is usually about 30 seconds and you get approved in most of these cases. But what you do is you click on the section that says groups at the top. It's a little search box will pop up where it normally says people, because if I were searching for you, Bob, I would put your name under people. When I hit groups, groups will pop up. And then I'll put in something like the woman who put in Gourd Artist. and you put in Gord Artist, and the groups that have Gord Artist members will pop up, and you'll have an opportunity to click on those and join those if that is something you want to do. It'll also tell you how many members are in that group. So if you see a group with two members, it might not be something you want to join. If you see something under Gord Artist that has 35, 40 members, and believe it or not, there are these artists in everything. I didn't know this, in every state in the country. You can join those associations and those groups.
All right. If I was somebody interested in this and I was interested in seeking a new job, should I be anxious that my current employer could go in and see if I'm on LinkedIn and if I am looking for a job?
No, because that can't be seen by anybody. If you're what you're looking for really can't be seen. The way that this is used, and I have used this in making connections, there was a case a few years ago where there was a job that a company that I was very interested in, a job that was posted. I clicked on the company, and it turns out I was one connection away, a second connection, to a member who was on the board of this company. I contacted my friend who was connected to him and said, would you mind introducing us? We were all from St. Louis. She said, oh, wonderful guy, smartest man I know. So she put us in touch. She had called him as fast as I had called him. I said, well, she says you're the smartest man she knows, so I need to know you. And so connections from another person, Bob, takes a cold call into a hot one. So he put me in touch with the recruiter, who was also a wonderful connection, and put me in touch with the hiring manager. Now, I got in the door. When I got there, it was not a good match for me. The type of place that I was at, it was the communications section was a lot of advertising people, and that's very different than the communication news background where I came up. It was not a bad thing for either of us that we were not a good match. It was not a bad thing. But I got in the door and I got an opportunity to see the place and to meet the people because I knew somebody who knew somebody. And that happens all the time on LinkedIn. When you go looking for a job, you click on the companies. The companies, if you put in any company whatsoever, and that's where the helicopter company came in a few years ago. If I put in the name of the helicopter company, it's going to pop up how many people I know, either a second connection or a third connection. A second connection means somebody I know knows them. And all I have to do is go through our mutual connection. A first connection means we are connected. And I had a client recently who was looking at a company, and when we pulled up the profile of the company, she had first connections with two people at the company. I said, you start there. You go into the company and say, these are the people I want to contact first. Do you mind if I use your name? I'm applying for a job at your company. Second connections mean we both know somebody in common. Third connections mean somebody I know knows somebody you know. And those are more difficult, although they can be kind of fun, actually. There was a group out of Richmond that was doing some consulting that I wanted to work with them, and I'm still talking with them right now. But it was funny that they don't often give the last name. They'll just give the first name of the person. So I called the company, and I said, oh, I can't think of your president's last name. You know, I think his name is Rich. And they said, oh, you're talking about so-and-so. I said, that's it. And so then I pulled up his profile by name, and I could see his whole profile. And then I called him directly and said, we're both connected to mutual people on LinkedIn. Do you mind talking to me about a prospect with the working with your company? That's how it works. You turn a very cold lead into a hot one. Right now, because of the internet, Bob, if you were applying for a job that was listed online, thousands of applications are being shot at that same job. You have to stand out. And in order to stand out, you network in. Hmm. That's the way you do it.
All right. The inquisitive side of me says, is there a fee to be on LinkedIn?
No, none at all. You can update and upgrade your profile and get all the bells and whistles, which I've never maxed out my potential using LinkedIn the way it is. But I do have colleagues who have upgraded for a fee, and then they have access to all kinds of studies, and they can see who's looking at them, and they get access to additional information and all this kind of stuff, and they live and breathe. If you're in sales and you're trolling for opportunities and sales, and I don't use trolling in a bad way, I use it as, you know, a way that sales folks are out there looking for things, then upgrading your profile might be a good thing for you. If you are out there and you are helping clients doing what I do and what the career transition work, sometimes, and I do know other consultants that have upgraded because it gives them more statistical information and they want that. I don't need it. I mean, there's so much available free that you don't need it. It's just like we've talked about negotiating salaries in the past and going to salary.com. You don't need to buy the package. Everything that you really need is free.
Wow. Well, why don't we troll for some phone calls?
Okay.
202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. We're talking with Nan Seamer, President, Breakers. Breakers is a company name. And we're talking about LinkedIn and networking and the like. Give us a call. And I'm Bob Lyons. You could even ask me a tax question, being that it's about 2 weeks left.
Yeah, don't ask me the tax question.
Okay, and don't make it too hard. And it ought to revolve around federal employment or retirement. And we're here for another 20, 21 minutes or so. It's Monday, April 1st, and it's 10:27 a.m. Eastern Time. After that, you can email us. We'll do the email later. So let's get back to this. Somebody sent you an email, and she said that LinkedIn is oftentimes referred to as an electronic Rolodex.
That's what I call it. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, some people are going to say, what's a Rolodex? People like me are going, I don't have an electronic Rolodex. I still got the old car. People laugh at me. I got, you know, it's not a big one, but I keep one just because it's quicker to grab it. But it clearly doesn't have everything that the computer has. So
they may not know the term Rolodex, yeah, but they definitely know what it is. Anybody who has a stack of business cards in your office, all of those should be transferred into LinkedIn. I had a client one time, and she was amazing. She had, as soon as I explained to her what LinkedIn was all about, she took 700 business cards in the next week and started putting people's names in and connecting with people through LinkedIn. She had hundreds of connections within 48 hours. And it's just because she said, I have all these cards of all these people, and it's a lot easier to stay connected with them through an electronic profile than it is to be looking for business cards. So she connected with them through LinkedIn and got rid of her stack of business cards. We used to have, in the old day, a little round Rolodex where we would flip through it and we would make cards spin around, and it would have all of our contact information. And when somebody moved, and I was in broadcasting, we moved a lot. You would scratch out the person's phone number. You would scratch out their address. It wasn't email addresses in those days. It was address. And you would write everything in over. And usually as broadcasters, you'd have five or six different, you know, scratches on the card by the time the career had evolved. So it was, but that's what the Rolodex was. It was a manual thing that you had with all the contact information on your desk. That's all transferred into computer right now. And it is easily accessible when you need to reach somebody. If I need to talk to somebody, all I have to do is reach out to them through LinkedIn. If I want to email them privately, it'll pop up in their regular email to let them know that. And if I want to let people know, too, that I've changed jobs or had a promotion or whatever, if I update my profile once a week, and there's a running thing that goes all the time, but once a week, an update goes out to all of my colleagues and friends that I'm connected to. And I say friends because a lot of my professional contacts are also friends. It will pop up once a week an email that gives updates of people that I'm connected to. And I always love to scroll through it. You know, it's a wonderful thing to add these jobs and add people that you're connected to. It's great. So, and people send me congratulations notes and things like that.
For people that later in one's career that, you know how to get around a computer, but maybe a little phobic regarding computers. If they were to use this as an electronic Rolodex, it seems to me fairly efficient.
It is. And you don't have to give a lot of information. Now, because LinkedIn is global, when I first went into it, and I've shared the phone number and email and stuff with our listeners today, but when I first went on LinkedIn, I had my address on there, which was a home office. It doesn't matter to me. I'm listed all over the internet as, you know, where I am. But a friend of mine did advise me to take the address off and to only put Alexandria, Virginia. And that's not a bad idea. You control how much personal information you put on there. If somebody emails me, then I can tell them, where we can meet, or I can tell them a phone number. So you don't have to put that kind of information up on the, it gives you the option, but you don't have to put that on your profile. So you can put as much or as little as you want. And you also control the privacy settings. If you don't want your picture shown, although I think you should, if you don't want your picture shown, you don't have to.
All righty. So maybe there are some do's and don'ts about what you put on there.
There are. 100% business. Do not put pictures of your kids and your dogs and, you know, your kite flying activities or whatever it is that you do for fun. This is not what this business thing is about. It is about connecting with business connections. So it's the things that you're interested in doing that, frankly, usually are tied to money, that make money. But you can also use these people, though. I want to make sure that people understand that when you retire, should you decide to do a part-time opportunity or should you decide just to volunteer, these connections can help you do that as well. So it's the things that you're passionate about that are that people make money at. It's business. But a lot of people will say in government, I don't plan on doing anything when I retire and I don't need a connection. You have to think, and my father is an excellent case. He didn't have a whole lot. He was in sales his whole life, and he knew many, many people. The people he was close to, there were only a few. And I can remember a horrible week in his life when two of his friends died in very short order. One 90-year-old man fell off a roof, and another man died of a heart attack. My dad didn't have that many reasons to go out anymore. And so this is what you have to think about. You want to make sure that you've got people to connect with when you transition to the next stage in your life, even if it is for social connections, because the people that you work with won't be available to you anymore once you leave. You know, believe it or not, they're still working and they've, you know, your relationship will change. So having a network that will support you both socially and professionally is going to be very important.
Okay. Now, let's say you have a profession, but you don't necessarily want to be there as that profession. I want to highlight my gourd, whatever you call it, interest. What was it? Gourd what?
Yeah, gourd artist.
Gourd artist.
They make art out of gourds.
Okay. So can I do that?
You can. And you can put that up there on, for example, if there's somebody right now who's being furloughed and has a few days a week to do something, they might want to put, and I'll use tax since it's tax season, I'm going to use this as an example. They may want to put on their profile available to do tax returns. And then that'll go out to all the people they're connected with. And I don't really try very hard, but I'm connected to over 250 people. This is something that a lot of people, and you think about not only the people you're connected to, but the people they're connected to, then it turns into tens of thousands. Just the people I'm connected to and the people they're connected to. Then it goes into hundreds of thousands with the people they're connected to. So you start reaching out to a lot of people to let them know what it is that you want to do. So I think that it's time to start turning LinkedIn and using it to let people know what it is you do. For example, if I wanted to start selling scarves to see photos, follow this link. If I wanted to start doing that through LinkedIn, that's something I could do. And right now, it's being used a lot with people saying, I'm looking for an executive assistant for this office or that. A lot of that is going on. I think it's also fair if somebody is looking for something and they want to reach out to their connections to say, this is what I'm looking for as well.
Okay. And I mean, you can sell things on it?
Well, it's not a thing that you sell things, but it's a thing that you get connected to people who sell things. For example, the pet product organization group that I'm connected with, they all have pet products that they sell. And it's great because when there are updates going on, when there are chats happening, I can put a question up there and pose it to all of these thousands of other people who sell pet products and say, does anybody know how I can do this or that? Or does anybody know what else I can do? And I can reach out to these people who are also doing it. That's how it's used. It's not used necessarily. It's not an Etsy site where you sell or an eBay site. It's not a place where you really sell things, but it's a place where you let your professional contacts know what it is that you do or you're looking for.
Okay. If somebody is looking for a volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. Let's look at it in three stages. We do beginning career seminars, and people mm-hmm. very young, sometimes on the job just a few weeks, a few months, maybe a few years. This is a pretty broad question. What would they be stressing at that point to garner knowledge from people that had been in the same line of work for a number of years?
But you're saying from a volunteer standpoint.
Yeah,
you're looking to volunteer.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, I always say volunteer with your heart. If it's a skill that you have and it's something you make money with, you should make money at it. But of course, I'm a negotiator, so I really push that. But as you know, my dog is a therapy dog. I realized years ago that this dog has a gift, especially with the elderly, in calming the elderly, in giving them, you know, a lot of comfort. So I take this dog both to libraries where kids read to him and to senior centers. I say that I'm not really doing the volunteer work. I'm just the chauffeur. But it was something I wanted to do with my heart. The dog is good for my heart. I wanted to share him with others because when my mother was dying, his gift just shined through how wonderful this dog is. And since he's a Bichon, a lot of the seniors have had dogs like this, and they think that this is, in many cases, the Alzheimer's patient thought it was their dog. So I started taking pictures and giving them pictures of them with the dog. So this is something I do with my heart, and it's something that I realized very young that when the dog was very young, 10 years plus ago, that this was a gift that I could give back. And so I started doing this then. If it's something that I want to do at a retirement point in my life, think about what would feed your soul. What would be good for you? Now, a lot of people in their 20s aren't thinking that way. They think about maybe reading programs with kids. But a lot of times in your 20s, think about where you were in your 20s. You know, you're so busy working and making a place in your life. But by the time we hit 40s, 50s, 60s, we really want to give back. And I would recommend that you choose it carefully. You can certainly look at LinkedIn and pull up organizations. For example, I'm going to pull up right now groups. I'm going to see if the group that I'm a part of, which is called People Animals Love, I want to see if they're on here. And I'm going to see if they've got a profile on here. And if they do, they've got a lot of pet things on here. And if there's something that's on here with them, I don't see them. I'm going to have to work on them to get People Animals Love up here. But you can then connect with these groups. There are a lot of places, though, a lot of groups that have, and maybe it's under companies. It might be because it's an organization. So you go on here and you look for these places and you see who else is connected and you talk to places, but you should be interviewing as if you were interviewing for a job to assess if this is a good match for you.
Now, can you also go on and say, okay, I'm pretty happy in my career. I pretty much know as much as I need to know. Can't ever know all. But I have a passion for, I'm going to say pinballs again. I don't, but let's just say that. Can you focus in on recreational activities and say, you know, I really enjoy movies. I really enjoy pinballs. Or are there people out there that are in an association of whatever?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, People Animals Love, they do. They're under companies instead of groups. You can definitely do that. But keep it professional. Keep it professional. It's something that you can definitely join groups like that. They're either under groups or companies. This was an organization, so they happen to be under a company. But it's a great research tool. And they do have access to job postings and things like that as well. You just have to spend some time searching the site, surfing it as if you would anything else, and seeing where the connections are. What you're talking about, joining those kinds of groups, it really is the group aspect of people with liked interest. And you can get together and see. And it's important, too, that you make sure that the group is not a group that's based in California if you're out here in D.C. You want to make sure that you've got kind of some local connections. If you've got something that you're, for example, selling artwork nationwide, well, then you would want to connect with a nationwide group. So a lot of opportunities.
All righty. Let's say that I do this. and then I don't want to do this. How do you drop out of LinkedIn?
All you have to do is disconnect it and close your account the same way you would anything else on the internet. Once people get on this, I have not heard anybody say that they want to drop out. You can drop people. You can drop people. If there's somebody absolutely. You can connect. And by the way, this is so important on LinkedIn. Don't connect with people you don't know. There are people out there that want nothing more than your access list. And I was recently certified as a career management fellow. And a lot of people are connecting with me because I've got those initials at the end of my name now. And they, too, have those initials. But I don't know them. And what you're basically saying is that when you connect with people on LinkedIn is that you know them. And they're part of your network. Don't start connecting with people you don't know.
Interesting you say that because I get... who's this? And I'd say, what is it? Accept or don't accept?
Yeah,
is that what
and it's funny because I go to the profile and I see, is there a reason I should know this person? I've told people at seminars, if you connect with me, make sure you let me know how you know me because I don't connect with people haphazardly. But I've had a lot of people, in fact, you will like this story, Bob. I did one of your seminars and there was a gentleman who created his profile on his tablet as we were having, as we were doing the class. And sent me an invitation to connect with him during class. So I accepted it during the class and showed people in the class how it worked and launched his LinkedIn career. So it's an opportunity, though, that once people see it and see how it works, it is the most requested thing that I get in seminars right now from government employees. They want to know what it is. They want to know how it works. They test me. They give me names of companies and say, see if you know somebody. Somebody gave me a Native American company recently, and they were floored that I was actually a second connection to somebody in the company because they said, that company's very closed, and there aren't many people that know people there. And it's sure enough, you put it in, and I was connected to somebody there. It doesn't take much to see where your network is. Now, this is important because you use it. Again, people are often not comfortable saying, oh, I'm looking for something in or, but boy, if you let somebody know what you're looking for, it'll come back to you. People like to help you if they know what it is you're looking for.
All righty. I think we got LinkedIn. We're coming back to LinkedIn.
Yes.
But let me take an offshoot. Twitter. Yeah. What's the difference between Twitter and LinkedIn? And you're smiling at me. I know it's a goofy question, but there's somebody out there listening to that.
I know. I've got a Twitter account. I've never used it. And I was recently, when I gave a speech a year ago, I was asked, do you have a Twitter account? Because we want to send this out on your Twitter account, too, that you're going to be our guest speaker. And I felt terrible because I don't use it and I don't have a following. I figured what it's saying is if you have things that you want to have people know on a regular basis, for example, I get tweets from people here at WTOP. If they're out doing an interesting story or covering things from the sister station, WTOP, where people will tweet and I'll get those tweets and they come up in my computer and I'm happy to see it. I mean, it's fun to get that information. I don't think there's anything in my life that I have going on that I want to be bothered with tweeting people. I'm a lot like Whoopi Goldberg in that respect. She just recently joined the world of Twitter. And I just don't think that there aren't things I really want people to follow. But I'm active in a group called the National Speakers Association, and they are big on letting people know where they are and what they're doing and what's going on. And it certainly is good for business. But it's something that, understandably, a lot of government workers are resistant to, but public affairs people in government are actually seeing the value. Because if you look at places like what has happened in the Middle East, and those people actually got their word out through Twitter and but again, it's basically headlines. You're shooting out headlines of what's going on. There's a limited count of characters. If you're saying like, I could Twitter out right now that I'm on For Your Benefit on Federal News Radio, tune in. I could send that out right now if I had my Twitter active. So, I mean, if you've got those kinds of things going on and you want the people connected to you to know that, then it's fine. But the idea of stars going out and saying, I'm now having lunch in such and such and I'm now doing this and now doing that, I'm not into that. And I think most people get bothered by that much information.
No, I agree. I just wanted to see the difference. The difference meaning this is who I am, what I am, what I want to do, and the other one, this is what I did.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing.
Okay.
Letting everybody know, this is what I'm doing right now. Should you want to come join me? You know, if you were an author and you were signing books, and you could say, you know, signing books right now or signing books this evening at such and such, and let your followers know that you would be at that bookstore this evening, that's not a bad thing. There are uses of every type of communication tool. It's just that in that case, I don't see the value to me to Twitter. But just because I don't tweet doesn't mean I don't see the value of it to some people.
Okay. If I was on LinkedIn, I'm going to give you an example. A dear friend of mine told me, the person is an attorney, and they were trying a case, and it revolved around some paper expert and book expert. Mm-hmm. And the person was on the stand and said, da-da-da-da, do you know this? And the person said, yes. And then under cross-examination, they go, was there a second edition of this? And the individual says, oh, yes, it was published 3 or 4 years later, and it changed, da-da-da-da. Okay, so if I was trying to learn something about books and first editions and second editions and what was deleted and what was added, could I use LinkedIn?
Well, LinkedIn would certainly have groups of, you know, knowledgeable people, and you could do that. You could also use Google, where you go out there and you say, put the name of the book in and search how many editions there were, things like that. I mean, Wikipedia has a lot of that information. You've got to be careful because anybody can write anything on Wikipedia. But it does, I mean, the internet itself is a wealth of research knowledge. If you want specific experts, you can certainly find them by narrowing your search through the groups and through the companies on LinkedIn. And then you can find the people that you know through there.
Yeah, a few years ago, just as a personal, it was bad. I was accused of lying on an application to the government that I had graduated from college. And it was fairly serious to me anyway. And I said, I graduated from college 40 years ago. I want mm-hmm. you to send your best forensic paper person up here because I have a diploma that you can take a snippet of and you'll find that it's 40 years old. That doesn't prove you graduated, but and finally the college came around and said, whoops, yes, you did.
Wow.
But I looked for that paper
expert. I was
about
to disconnect you.
No, it was not pleasant.
No,
but you know, I knew it wasn't accurate. But I did look for that paper expert, and I found one.
Yeah,
just in case I had to go to the mat. And for
and how did you find them? What did you look for?
I Googled it.
Okay.
And then through.
And what did you Google when you did that?
Old paper expert. I think that's what I did.
And I'm just putting in old paper and seeing what pops up just to see if there's any. There's old, let's see, old masters painting and works on. There are 569 members in a group called Old Paper, Old Masters Painting and Works On. So, you can definitely find.
Yeah,
and there's also groups of pre-press, print, and color management. There's so many of them. There's Digital Equipment Corporation Enthusiast, Storyboard Artist and Professional. So, yeah. It's hard to think of anything that you can't find people that are connected in some level. I mean, there are groups for everything.
So, it's a guide not only for a profession in what you're doing, but what you might be looking at, or as well as a hobby, and to find clubs to join, or let's say this is going to be a great example, but you're working on a 1987 whatever car, and you need a Fratostat, and so you go to the Fratostat Club for the 1987 car. Could I find that on LinkedIn?
You can. And let me just tell you that Paper Industry Professionals had 20,000 members. Pulp and Paper Processing Engineers has 5,800 members. Paper and Pulp Jobs Group has 5,200 members.
Got that,
now,
Andrew?
What is the name of the car, the part that you're looking for?
They call it I'm not going to tell you the car.
Okay.
Let's say it was a Ford Falcon. It wouldn't have been 1980, probably been in the 70s. Ford Falcon tachometer.
Ford Falcon. Let's see if anybody pops up. Nobody pops up on Falcon. Let's try just Ford. Okay, there is the Ford Motor Company has 21,000 members. The Eagle Ford, the Ford Motor Company alumni has 5,600 members. There are connections. There are also connections to people named Ford. And there's a company, the Ford Motor Company. So, yeah, I mean, if you put in the right words and if the thing doesn't pop up initially, take some time to look for a good connection. Put in a couple of different words, a couple of different ways, and see what pops up that will be the type of group that you want to be a part of.
Okay, I'm going to do this later. I'm not a great pinball player, but I'm a little bit of a pinball nut.
Okay.
And there's this great machine, Adams Family. And I wonder if there's a group of people that are Adams Family aficionados. Adams is ADDAMS.
Okay, let me see. Pinball enthusiasts. There's a group of pinball enthusiasts with 581 members. So that's the place I would start, is with the pinball enthusiast. I doubt that there's going to be something as, but let's see what happens with Adams Family. ADDAMS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing anything yet. So that again would probably be better on Google. But you have 500 and something pinball enthusiasts that you can now connect with, Bob, and be a member of that
and
group.
Nan, you know I'm antisocial, so I probably never do that. I'm not antisocial, but
If there is something that you really love, connect with those folks and take a look. And you can always disconnect if you don't want to be a part of the group later. But take a look at what they're talking about, the things that they're interested in. And it's amazing. The information that I got from the pet product people, I mean, it really, really helped me at a time when I needed that information. So, and they have people every once in a while that are looking for an unusual product. And so I have no problem connecting with some of those folks.
Okay, we had, like I mentioned, a number of shows ago. See if you can see Federal Furlough clubs, if you will, on LinkedIn.
There are many clubs, by the way, of alumni groups, diplomats, all kinds of groups with the federal. But let's see. L-O-U-G-H. Furlough. Furloughed Workers. There's one member of this group. Furloughed Workers has just started up. Furloughed Federal Government Employees has a member. These are groups that are just beginning. Furloughed 2013. .com. You're welcome. We welcome discussion and sharing of resources for furloughed government employees. Also, be sure and visit the website. So they're just starting up. It's not a big surprise, but Furloughed Federal Government Employees is now starting up.
Okay. No, I think that would be of interest to the listeners of any age because it's a significant.
Well, people are just getting notice of this. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's happening right now in my neighborhood that a lot of government workers are just getting notice now that it's either, if it's not beginning this month, it's going to be beginning by September, October. So a lot of people, things that you have in common, sharing discussions and information. This, by the way, is not a place just to vent. You will probably be kicked out if you just want to vent. But if you want really productive, good information, this is a place to go.
Okay. I mean, it's got an awful lot of tools other than, to be frank, when I walked in here or what I thought it was.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll pay more attention to it. It's not that I don't pay attention to it, but I get somebody's update and I go, that's nice.
Having said that, I don't want people, Bob, to think that face-to-face networking and staying out there and, getting to know people and understanding that everybody you meet is part of your network. I don't want them to downplay the idea that face-to-face and having coffee with somebody and calling them on the phone. A lot of times when people are unemployed, I tell them to take the opportunity to reconnect with folks they haven't talked to in a while, not only to reach out and say, well, I'm looking for a job, but also, how are you doing? A network goes both ways. It is not just there when you need it to say, I need help. A network is a constant communication tool that it goes both ways, that if you know somebody that's looking for help, you can help them as well.
That's what I like what you said, because it could start at the beginning of one's career, the middle of one's career, late in the career, or even in retirement.
It's recognition. You actually have a network from the day you're born. You have a network. The point is, how do you use it and how do you recognize it? That's what is important before you go through a major transition in your life, like retirement. It's important that you understand what that network is.
Yeah. And then the social network, like you mentioned, the one-on-one. I unfortunately don't do enough of that because I do a lot of seminars. I feel that's my kind of one-on-one. And you meet people, they come in, ask questions, you establish. It's not a friendship necessarily that's going to be there for life, but you know, they might email you. You might email them.
Bob, you know what your network is. Your network is, I recently did a seminar for you with a government agency. That government agency, my nephew is now going to be doing an internship with them this summer. Likewise, he did an internship with another government agency that I did a seminar for with you years ago. He is now in law enforcement at Southeast State University, and they're absolutely shocked that in Southeast Missouri State that he can have these kinds of connections. Can I name the agency? Or should I not name the agency?
Why don't we not?
Okay, but it's a great agency, and he is seen as a star in this agency now because he's at his college, because he's been able to land these internships. How did he land them? Because his Aunt Nan said, this guy said you can call him. This woman said you could call her. He called. He followed up. He got internships, and now he's seen as somebody that really is connecting the school with these agencies. So that's how a network works. It doesn't always benefit just you. It can benefit the people around you. But I've tried to teach my nieces and nephews from a very young age that you send thank you notes, that you connect with people. So this is how a network works. Maybe not always benefiting you, but benefiting those you love.
Okay. We have 1 minute. Our ever efficient engineer, Andrew, told us we have 1 minute, and we have less than 1 minute. And I know it's tough stopping you, but we got to slow down.
That's okay. I'm happy to be here. And again, your network is everyone you know.
Okay. And we're happy to have you. And again, Nan Seamer, President Breakers, and Nan's phone number is?
703-313-0147.
Okay, thanks for listening. We'll be on next week, and have a good week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.